Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, it is Election Day Eve. I am so freaking excited about tomorrow. It's, of course, Medal of Honor Monday, and we will do that no matter what an hour from now. Now, let me just talk to you about what's in store for all of us tonight, because it's pre-Election Day, Election Day Eve. We are going to discuss, well, the election itself in the opening. What are the stakes? Why are they this high? It shouldn't be this way, you know. We'll discuss that in the opening of the show. We're going to discuss two different outcomes. You have my email is full of it. My text messages are full of it. What's going to happen if Trump wins? What's going to happen if Trump loses? Where are we at on all this stuff? We will discuss it. We're going to discuss the Senate GOP leadership race. Oh, it's in the news finally. NBC got busted electioneering, Trump suing CNN, 1 in 3 young adults don't want to have children, and Doug Emhoff decided to flame dome on accident on stage. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So let's get a couple things out of the way right off the bat here. I am going to discuss the huge stakes in this election in a couple minutes. But before I do that, I want to remind you of a couple things. Remember how terrible the midterm elections were for us? We thought we were going to have this huge red wave. It was red wave this and red wave that. I'm just as guilty, hand raised, as everyone else. We thought this country's so mad about Joe Biden. They're so mad about the COVID stuff. They're so mad about inflation that people are going to flock to the polls in 2022 and Democrats are going to be swept all the way out of power. Remember? I know you remember. I certainly remember. And then we watched that night. I was actually with Clay and Buck at a big election night party in Nashville, and Buck and me were in a corner watching as the results coming in, basically crying on each other's shoulders. Oh, this is the worst thing ever. And you remember, do you remember how horrible that was? It was horrible. And I'm not just talking about the mustache I had to shave in afterwards because I lost my bet. You remember how horrible it was? It was bad. Really, really, really bad. Now, have you seen all the reports about all the early ballots Republicans have turned in this time? In case you haven't, I know you probably already have, but in case you haven't, I'll just put it this way. Republicans have traditionally been destroyed by Democrats when it comes to chasing down ballots, getting early ballots in, banking their vote early. We are always not behind, far behind. By the time Election Day gets here, we are way behind. And then we're always crossing our fingers, hoping we will come back all the way on Election Day. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. I forget which state it is. I think it's Wisconsin. I've been studying way too much election stuff over the weekend. But I think it was Wisconsin where early voting, Joe Biden had something like 600,000 more votes than Donald Trump did in 2020. Trump came all the way back on Election Day and lost by like 20,000. That's how it traditionally goes. Right now, if you're looking at any of the numbers that are out there, there are states where Republicans are ahead in early voting. That never, ever, 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 ever happens. There are states where even if we're not ahead, we're barely behind, behind by a smidge. That never happens. And in the swing states, it's happening right now. What does this have to do with the midterms? What is it? Well, why is that the case right now? Why are our early voting numbers, why do they look so good right now? Why does the ballot harvesting, chasing down votes, why is all that so good right now? Why is the RNC, which has traditionally been as useless as a treadmill at a feminist rally, why has the RNC been all over the legal stuff, getting dirty votes stopped, challenging things? Why are we so much better prepared now? I'm not saying we're going to win, although I think we are. Why are we so much better prepared now than we have ever been in my 43 years on this planet? Why? Because we got kicked in the face in the midterms of 2022, and it hurt. It hurt you. It hurt me. It hurt people across the country. And in the face of great pain is almost always where you see great growth. That disastrous midterm that seemed like the end of the world at the time, that disastrous midterm wounded us so deeply that we picked ourselves up, dusted ourselves off, and we said, things have got to change. We've got to dig in. We've got to start doing better. And we have. Will it be enough to win? I don't know. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is even devastating election losses can, in the end, be good. That election in 2022, that disaster, that's the reason you see a ground game like you see today. It's the reason I get emails like this. Here's just one of a million. I'm just going to read this one. Greetings on Election Day Eve. I heard your call to get involved and decided to become an election judge for the first time. My 15-year-old daughter will be joining me on Election Day as a student election judge. The day I went to training 2 weeks ago, one of the slides said, we still need Republican judges. I know this isn't much, but we need more people to get involved in this important process. Sent from a Pure Talk phone, their names, he asked that I read them, are Charles and Abby, and I will read them. Don't say to me this isn't much. It's everything. For the first time in my 43 years, Republicans en masse are getting off the couch and getting involved, not just raging on Facebook, getting off the couch and getting involved. Maybe they're election judges. Maybe they're running for office. Maybe you're filling out mailers. Maybe you've donated. Maybe you've knocked on doors. Maybe I don't know what you've done. Maybe you're just text messaging friends, rallying votes on election day. Don't think for a second that doesn't count. Hey, Bob, have you voted? I'll take you to the polls. Hey, we got to make sure you get Charlie. Make sure he brings his wife along. That counts. There are no small efforts. If you got off the couch and did one thing, I'm going to say this, and you're going to think I'm lying, and you're going to think I'm full of crap. Cross my heart, hope to die. I am telling you the truth. If you picked up your phone right now and you text messaged, you don't even have to call. Who wants to do that? If you text messaged 5 people, friends of yours, reminding them that tomorrow's election day, maybe even texting them a sample ballot. Because remember, it's a lot more than just Donald Trump. The stakes tomorrow are huge. Maybe you text 5 friends. If you did just that, you will have done more to take part in your country's elections than 95% of Americans will ever do in their lifetime. In their lifetime. Five text messages put you ahead of 95% of the country. So there are no small ways. There's no, it's not much. I didn't do much. I just know if you got involved, credit to you for not just talking about it, not just, I hate Joe Biden. We got to close the border. The inflation. Not just complaining online. Getting up off your butt and doing something means everything. I have been to more city council and school board events in the last 2 years than I have the entire rest of my life. And I was always involved. Tried to get involved locally. I've ramped it up in the exact same way you have. We have to be the hands and feet. And if you've done anything, large or small, good for you and credit to you. So allow me to finish this up because we're going to move on and talk about other things as it pertains to the election. As we talk about often, yes, the stakes are high. And we're about to talk about those stakes next, so don't think I'm going to avoid that. The stakes are high. But saving a country is a process, not an event. Losing a country is a process, not an event. No matter how tomorrow turns out, and I am very hopeful it'll go well, no matter how tomorrow turns out, Wednesday, the fight continues. All right? All right. Get yourself ready for it. Maybe pop by Chalk to make sure you're ready for it. You see, Chalk sells the best natural herbal supplements I've ever had in my life. I woke up today, rolled over, told the wife, I'm so freaking fired up. I just can't. I have so much energy anymore because of Chalk. I'm just ready to go all the time. That's what happens when you start your day off with chocolate powder. She made us a little superfood smoothie, little chocolate powder, boom, off like a rocket ship. Male vitality stacks, female vitality stacks, whatever you're looking for. You want that brain fog to leave, energy again, testosterone again. It's waiting for you at Chalk.com, Chok.com. Get a subscription, save money. You will love it. 90 days and tell me how you feel. Take it for 90 days. Chok.com, promo code Jesse. The stakes of the election. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, an election day eve. Good call with the Jimmy Buffett, Chris. You know, I've never been to a Jimmy Buffett concert. I have heard they are a huge party and a blast. Totally going to go. I'm going to take the wife next year or something like that. Absolutely going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Anyway, it is Election Day Eve, and I am excited. So let's, we just got over the all is not lost, all is not saved. We're done with that. And we got over the thank yous. Seriously, thank you. If you got involved, if you did anything, thank you. That's how we save a country. Now, let's discuss the stakes. Because I was talking with Ab about this morning. We'd taken the boys to school. I was having a cup of coffee. We were just going over the day, and we were bringing up the election. The election, what are the stakes? And when you really take it in, the stakes of this election are way too high. And they're way higher than they should be. Let me explain what I mean by that. We could go a bunch of different places here, but let's just stick with the border and illegal immigration for now. I know we've been conditioned to accept how things are. That's the human nature. You end up adapting to whatever your conditions are. But you do understand that no party in a country, no political party, should be opening the border on purpose. And not just opening the border on purpose, bringing in foreigners as fast as they can possibly get them inside the country. And that's what Democrats do now. That is the Democrat Party position. Here's this one from the House Judiciary Committee today. I'm just going to read it verbatim. U.S. taxpayer dollars were spent on foreign nationals' salaries so they could advise other foreign nationals on the easiest way to migrate to the United States. At least $87.1 million in U.S. taxpayer funding spent by the Open Borders United Nations to allow illegals to bypass the southern border and fly directly into the United States of America. Migration centers set up through Central and South America, staffed by UN bureaucrats. Nearly 70,000 aliens referred for potential resettlement in the United States. You can go read it yourself if you're interested in the source. It's courtesy of the House Judiciary Committee. This is one example in a million. Democrats got elected to the presidency. Not only did they open the border, they took money from your wallet and sent the money to the United Nations so the United Nations could open migrant centers in Central and South America and train illegals how to get in the United States of America without getting stopped or caught. The stakes should not be this high. We should not be sitting here the night before an election knowing that if we lose tomorrow night, that means another 20 million rapists and murderers and gang members coming into our country the next 4 years. That's not a place you should be as a country. Oh, I know different political parties historically and here, they have differences in policy positions. And frankly, I'm really okay with that. I understand it. If we're talking about Republicans versus Democrats getting elected, I get that we're talking about a difference in tax rates. Of course, that's a perfectly reasonable argument to have. I get that we're talking about differences in foreign policy. Do we want to be have a larger footprint on the international stage? Do we want to pull back from that? I get that that is a thing. I get that we are talking about differences in monetary policy, in cultural issues. If you vote for this party, you'll get more of this. I actually get all that. I have very strong feelings about all those things. I get all that. Whether or not your border is secure, that shouldn't be a partisan issue. But it is. And that puts us in a frightening place as a country. Because here's what it means. It means that we are on a boat in the middle of a gigantic lake. And the storm's coming and we need to get to shore. And there's one other person on the boat with us. And we know we have to get to that shore in order to save everyone. But the person with us is so twisted, mentally ill and demonic. They believe that sawing a big hole in the bottom of the boat and sinking it to the bottom of the lake is somehow the only way we will be saved. And so we are trying to not only get ourselves back to shore, we're trying to stop the demented demon in the boat from sending us to the bottom, and we're trying to get the boat clear to the shore in time to do all that. Stakes in a presidential election should never, ever, 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 ever be that high, because securing a border, keeping illegals out of a country, shouldn't be a Republican thing. That's an American thing. But somewhere along the lines, Democrats turned into the America's an evil Nazi place that should be burned to the ground party. And I don't know how we go about changing that, although I think I have a suggestion, which I'll give to you next. I don't know how we go about changing that, but in the long term, that has to change, or we can't save the place, no matter what happens in this election. We can't share a country with people trying to burn it down. It doesn't work that way. You can't share a boat with someone trying to saw holes in it. It doesn't work that way. So how do we make them change? How do we get Democrats to change? Let's discuss that in a moment. Before we discuss that, let's discuss what happened with Fred today. You see, Fred has this extremely curly hair. He's a golden doodle, which is not a designer dog, I should point out. He's a golden doodle. But about once a month or so, we actually have to take him to get professionally groomed. No matter how much we brush him, the hair gets matted and it hurts him. So we took him to the groomer. Only Fred Fred has some emotional problems, and now he's been laying in the corner whimpering for the rest of the day because he went and got a haircut. This is what I have to deal with in the house. And this is why Fred has digestive problems, or used to have digestive problems, after every meal. He's got a nervous stomach. What do you want me to say? If it wasn't for Rough Greens, I don't know what I would have done. We started sprinkling Rough Greens on Fred's food, the all-natural nutritional supplement. It didn't fix his anxiety, but man, it fixed his digestive problems. You want your dog to live longer, have a shinier coat, better breath? Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, Medal of Honor Monday coming up about a half hour from now. If you want to email the show, you can. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. You want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that too. 877-377-4373. And I think it's fair to say the Jesse Kelly Show listeners are on top of the important issues that affect this election.
Camilla's inflation killed a 99 cents pizza slice.
It's a big deal. It's no joke, Chris. It's not. I sound like Joe Biden. It's not a joke. It's for real. She did do that. Okay, so I got this email, and it's along the lines of what I was just talking about. Dear Oracle, just had a conversation with a 73-year-old man who's been in politics since he was nine. Said every presidential race has come with the warning, if we lose this one, it's the end of the country. We're saying it now. If Kamala wins, it does feel like the end of the country. Do you think this time it will really be the end? Did Russia end in 1917? Give us some perspective on this. Okay, so let's discuss the two different scenarios here. And when I get to the Republican win for tomorrow, and what that looks like, that's when I'll get to the whole, how can we fix Democrats? Because it's actually up to us to fix Democrats. But what's going to happen if they lose? Or if they win? If the communists win tomorrow, what will happen? Well, first we have to acknowledge that we're probably, I want to stress this, probably already past the holding the union together. By the union, I mean all 50 states. Holding together a 50-state country that is this full of American citizens who hate it and of illegals now with no loyalty to it, holding together a country when the numbers have gotten this high, very, very, very difficult. If Democrats get elected, they will simply accelerate the end of that process. And remember, the idea for them is power. It's only about naked power. How could you possibly open up a border on purpose and fill up a country with people who hate it? How could you teach grade school kids that America sucks? How could you? How could you? How could you? This is all, it all comes down to money and power in the end. A country full of people who are mentally ill and or who despise the United States of America is a country full of people who will vote Democrat until the day they die. And then, of course, they'll continue voting Democrat until a Republican removes them from the voter rolls. You know exactly how that works. If they are elected, all is not lost. But it means we have to start thinking more regionally than we ever have before. I know you've heard me talk about that, Chris, and I've been saying that for years, and I'll keep saying that. Win or lose, no matter what, we have to think locally, regionally. What can you do to protect and preserve your way of life in your area? If Democrats win tomorrow, well, there are some things we can plan on, and we know this for a fact. First, the border stuff we already covered, they'll actually probably do even worse with another 4 years because they'll try to completely take the brakes off and make sure there's no chance for a Republican to ever win again. So let's set that aside. Another thing that I think you should be ready for is the arrests of their political opponents will ramp up in a massive way. We've had this talk before about different communist revolutions as they were going. What do communists understand? Fear and pain. It's the only way to teach communists anything because they're religious zealots, no different than Islamic jihadi. They only understand fear and pain. Nothing else will work on them. Well, Democrats have now for 4 years used the justice system and its various weapons against their political opponents. Remember, we didn't even talk about this much. We brought it up on the show once, but they put Tulsi Gabbard on a terrorist watch list with FBI agents, with federal agents following her because she was a Democrat who decided to endorse a Republican. The federal government sent federal agents after a Democrat they were angry with. Do I need to remind you about the FBI? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Play Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, play it, Chris.
Issues related to freedom of speech. She says she stands for freedom of speech. And yet, as we've seen time and time again, her and Joe Biden have taken actions both directly and indirectly to censor free speech. Most recently, I can point to my own experience of this, of how the Harris-Biden administration have added me to a secret domestic terror watch list the very day after Kamala Harris was endorsed by Joe Biden. And I was on TV and warning the American people about what I saw as the dangers of a Kamala Harris presidency, taking action that was clearly political retaliation. They've done this to a lot of different people, which points to how dangerous it is to have people in power so willing to abuse that power to go after political opponents.
Okay. Over 1,000 January 6ers already in prison. You know already about all the lawfare against Donald Trump. We've talked before about what they did to the pro-lifers, which whatever you feel about abortion, again, I want everyone to understand and fully digest what they did. Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. Okay? I'm obviously a fan, but maybe you're not. Doesn't matter. Set that aside. The Supreme Court overturned a decision. In response to the Supreme Court overturning a decision, the communists who run the Justice Department, they threw a hissy fit. They dug up an obscure law, I believe from the 70s, the FACE Act. They went digging through the books, found a law they liked, and used that law as justification to send FBI SWAT teams after pastors and throwing them and little old ladies into federal prison. These are not things that might happen or could happen. These have already happened in the last 4 years. Communists probe the lines. Communists check for weaknesses. They did it after COVID, and they loved what they saw. They saw a weak, complacent population that could be controlled. If they do what they've done for the last 4 years, and then tomorrow the American people don't show up at the polls and reject them outright, I'm talking a bloodbath where they are rejected, in the next 4 years, I doubt very much that I will see it as a free man, and I'm not even close to exaggerating. That's what they did with the last four. If the American people go out and give them another four, you will see people on the right arrested and thrown in prison at a pace that will stun you. We are dealing with Mao. I know that can, it's too much, it's over the, no. It is underselling it, if anything else. The people who lead this country are as evil, sick, and murderous as any people who have ever walked on the planet. And if after 4 years of lawfare, they're given another 4 years, well, you might want to clean up those Facebook posts. I'm not even close to exaggerating. That's just a couple things that are coming. Let's move past that and go to the flip side. What if we have a huge night tomorrow night? And I think we're going to. In a way, us having a huge night tomorrow night might save the country. And not just because of new policies or Trump getting in. If we have a huge night tomorrow, it might, in a small way, fix the Democrat Party. I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. Before I explain that, let me explain to you. The markets, stock market and whatnot, they're already apprehensive, to put it mildly. They're already talking about wild fluctuations. What if he wins? What if she wins? What if the tariff thing, the taxes thing, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's why you should invest in real estate. Hard assets, baby. Land, precious metals, real estate. Land, precious metals, real estate. Done For You Real Estate is here to do it for you. They'll find you the best properties in the best markets. You don't know. I don't know, but they do. They'll handle the closing process, the financing they handle. They get all this stuff done for you. You will begin to acquire rental properties. We're talking consistent tax-free income. You retire. You could retire off it one day. You want to know how? Go to doneforyoujesse.com to learn more. Doneforyoujesse.com. All right. How could a big night tomorrow night save the country by fixing Democrats? Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, a reminder, maybe you're thinking about voting for Kamala tomorrow. Doug Emhoff knows her better than anybody.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
My man. My man. What, Chris? What's... that's her husband. He knows her well. We're with you, Doug. We're with you.
I love you back.
All right. Now let's talk about how, what I hope and what I think will happen tomorrow night could help saving the country by, in a way, saving the Democrat Party or changing the Democrat Party. I already said it earlier, so I'm not going to recap the whole thing, but you should never, as an American citizen, have to vote in an election where the stakes are this high. That shouldn't be a thing, because one of the two parties shouldn't be committed to burning the country down. And we, even if we win tomorrow night, if the Democrat Party stays the way it is, committed to burning down the country, then we can't save the country. You can't, a house that divided, we can't, you can't save it. You can't fix it. It cannot happen. So tomorrow night, here's what I hope will happen, and be honest, this is what I think will happen. I think tomorrow night is going to be a resounding victory. I do. And I know anything can happen. I get that. But everything I see numbers-wise is pointing me that way. In fact, I think it's going to be such a resounding victory. We might have a declared winner tomorrow night. We've kind of gotten away from that. But I think it's going to be possibly overwhelming. And I'll own that if I'm wrong. It's just a guess. I don't even know if I'd call it a prediction. It's just what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to have a resounding victory. I think what you're going to see up and down the ballot is a rejection of open borders, a rejection of the inflation that is plaguing people's lives. I think the Democrat Party is going to feel rejection and feel it badly tomorrow night. And in a way, that might end up saving us. I'll get to what I think they're going to do. Don't get me wrong. They'll go all in. We'll get to that in a moment. But remember at the beginning of the show when I talked about how bad the midterms were for us at the time, but then how much that pain helped us improve? We had this disastrous performance in the midterms and it sucked and there was no red wave and everything's lost. But then after that, we woke up and we shaped up and we realized, wow, we got to get better at ballot harvesting. We have to get better at this. We have to get better at that. We have to get better at blocking and tackling. And we have, even if we lose tomorrow, we have massively improved on the blocking and tackling, massively improved on these things. So if Democrats are rejected tomorrow, it's not like they can turn into the pro-America party. That's not what I'm saying. And it's not as if they will want to change their anti-American ways. That's not at all what I'm saying. But should tomorrow night be a Democrat massacre in this country, then the powers that be inside the Democrat Party, they will, if they are rejected outright, I'm not talking a little win, if they are rejected outright, they are going to have to get together in a room and they are going to have to figure out what went wrong. If you had the House, well, they don't have the House. If you had the Senate and the presidency and you wake up the morning after the election and you got wiped out, you do exactly what we did after the midterms. You get together and you have a come to Jesus meeting and you figure out what's working and what's not. And maybe I'm just being wishful, hopeful here. Maybe just maybe in that meeting, maybe they have to have a talk with each other about the open border. Maybe they have to say to each other, hey, we can't keep the border wide open. They're going to reject that every single time. We at least have to pretend to have some semblance of a border policy. Maybe they get together in that room and they put their heads down.
Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
What, Chris? She did. She put her head down and she went to work. And don't be dismissive of that. Dome putting her head down and digging in and going to work, it's what got her to where she is today. Kamala Harris doesn't rise to be vice president without helping others rise. She doesn't rise to be vice president without putting her head down and going to work. She put in the work. And look, it's tough work. Believe me, I can tell you right now, you get older and older, things are harder. Things are more difficult. It can be tough on the knees. But she put her head down, kept her head down, and now look where she's at. I find it to be inspiring. All right, now, what's going to happen if we have the victory? Well, there have been a couple audio bits out there alluding to what might be coming, and I had a talk with a couple people today about what might be coming. So maybe we should get ourselves mentally and spiritually prepped for that. But I think we should set all that stuff aside and do Medal of Honor Monday next, don't you? Let's do the voicemails first.
Hey, Jesse, got two things to tell you. One, I'm from Arkansas, went and voted, and guess who was on number one spot? Mr. Kennedy. Two, I must have a purple unicorn because my wife drives an Outback. She loves cats. She dyes her hair blue, purple, red, and all those colors. But guess what? She's a gun-toting right-winger.
I love you guys so much. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 877-377-4373. And there's a good chance tomorrow during the election, we might actually take some calls. Again, that's very rare, but maybe you need the stress relief. I don't think if we open up for the calls tomorrow, I don't think it'll be election-based. Maybe we'll screw off and tell dumb jokes or funny stories, but maybe we'll all need a little stress relief. And remember, tomorrow we are going to be telling you as the numbers come in. You don't have to change the channel. As numbers come in, we are going to be hoovering them up as fast as we can and spitting them right back out at you. Anyway, it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.